Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reimbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim Show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reimbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on. And you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
You know, the news is just, I mean, you're talking about things happening. Bless God, here we got now, Mark was telling me not only in Wisconsin we've got the people screaming and yelling, holding signs at their state house, but I guess it's going on now in some of the other states over all this. But folks, we're broke. I mean, I fully, absolutely fully agree that there's just exactly with the visions that came back in the 80s that this thing's over. They're going to cut back, and they're going to do everything they can do to put this thing off. The inevitable part of this is we're broke. As they're talking about it, you know, maybe it's not so much us, especially at my age, but our grandchildren. They're never going to climb out of this hole that we're in financially, and they know that. They've known it for years, okay? But it's just got to the point now where the states are broke, the government's broke. Hey, we're broke. And as I said, we're going into a place of super inflation, the place where food is going to get higher. Gasoline is already out of sight, but they're saying it could get $5 a gallon by summer. This thing is serious. And it goes back to the same thing that I've said from the beginning that I have addressed you here in the United States over the last five and better years. You better get food put up. You better make provisions, brothers and sisters, because this thing is going to get tough. It's going to get tougher. And people are doing everything in the world besides creating jobs. And, of course, they're trying to talk about jobs that are being created. But there again, when the states are broke, they're broke. And it's going to be more than a little interesting to watch this, especially as a prophet from the prophetic side of this thing as it keeps unfolding. But you just know that you were told, and for those of you who've been around me for the past 5 years or better, you were told you need to prepare. You need to get ready. Like I said, whether it's a plague or whether it's a recession, or depression, or you need to prepare. You need to put up. You need to put up food. Whether it's a great catastrophe as I said, we're coming up to a 26,000 year cycle, and I've been studying about that, and that's interesting, and I'm going to try to, as I said, put together something and do a program talking about that cycle and talking about the Mayans and what that's all about down there in Mexico. And I discovered some things that were of a great surprise to me as I sought God first through fasting and prayer, and some of the things that He's opening up to me. So I'll try to get that put together next week or two, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the information, exactly what this whole thing is about. Why are these solar flares? Well, these solar flares come once every 11 years. There's an 11-year cycle, and we're right at coming into the cycle where these solar flares, bless God, they happen. The scientists is looking for a big solar flare, one big enough that they're saying that it's going to knock out all communications around the world. And when that happens, that's the power grids are going to go down. You say, well, oh my, you know, well, men's hearts will fail them in the last days for the things that they're seeing come upon this earth. And again, we're at the beginning of the sorrows, as I prophesied when the great tsunami came over in Indonesia. God, the angel came and said, you tell the people it's just the beginning of the sorrows that's to come. And then, of course, after that came the Katrina thing down in Mexico, and then the great earthquakes that are taking place, and it's one thing after another, after another, after another. And it's like everything else. Thank God that you know our God. And that's, in the end, as I said, that's what this is all about anyway. It's about you and I being placed here by the living God for a purpose of a time and a place and a season, and we're here. So God use us in this last day. Again, that's the reason it's so important to learn the material, because I'm going to tell you something. When there is a great catastrophe come, and there will be, people are going to remember the seeds that you planted with them, and they're going to come, and they're going to want to know more about what you know. So don't forget those things. Keep those things in hand, and understand that, bless God, you're a chosen vessel for this time. This isn't... I'm not doing all I should be doing or think I ought to be doing, as we've discussed many times. Well, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing if you are today. Then there will be advancements tomorrow, Don't be concerned about it. Let God be God. Well, we're into the Acts of the Apostles, and how important that this is for it to do what? For it to be that to be restored. See, in the last day, Elijah will come back to this earth, and the Scripture says, will restore all things. The power of the anointing of God given to His people is one of those things that has to be restored. It has to be restored for us to be able to go through what the Scripture says will be the worst time that this world has ever seen or ever will see, that we're going to go through that. We're going to have to walk, brothers and sisters, in a place of power through God in the name of His Son, Yeshua, that few people, bless God, number one, have ever seen operate. Number two, has ever been in a church that even comes close to operating within those kind of depths. But you're the generation. I'm the generation upon whom the ends are written. You don't ever want to forget that. You want to understand that God has a plan. I'm going to say that again. God has a plan for you, brother. He's got a plan for you, sister. And if you will get willing and obedient long enough for Him to fulfill His plan in your life, you're going to... Well, the old story it is, even though you see it, even though you hear it, yourself's going to have a hard time keep from pinching yourself to believe it, because God's on the move. God is restoring all things. Well, you know, the excitement of reading about the prophets and reading about the apostles and the things that God did through them, it's always amazed me. It's amazed me from the first day that I set my eyes upon the Scriptures. And I said then, God, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to be like Paul and Peter and John and James. And I want to be like the prophets of the Old Testament. I want to walk. I want to be able to call that stone axe up off the bottom of that dirty old river someday. I want to be able to take my tallit and smack it upon the Jordan one day and watch the waters part and walk across on dry land. And you know, people said to me for years, "Oh, you're just dreaming. You're having..." No, I'm not dreaming. I'm speaking about a living God, and I'm speaking about a God that did it then, and a God that's about to do it now, and with what? With greater power. In the last days, He promises. In the last days, the former house. I'll tell you what. Going to be greater than the latter house. And they were doing that then. God's no respecter of persons. The only thing that's going to keep you from entering into this place of the power of God's anointing is you. It is available. God is available. You don't ever want to forget that. Whatever's going on, whatever the circumstance may be, just know that God is available. You must know that. You must know that He is there. And He is more than capable and more than willing. All you have to do is believe. You know, I'm always saying that. You know, we have the smallest part of all this to play, and it's just to believe. That's all that God requires of you and I, just believe. The angel said to me one time, he said, "You know, we do all the work." He said, "It looks to me to be a small thing for you, but to believe." And boy, was that prophetic and truthful. Amen. Same thing for you, okay? God's no respecter of persons, and I realize the things that God has let me do around this world has been phenomenal. No different than what they did within their own rights. But the fact of it is, it's just because the fact that like I said, the anointing left the church. The church didn't even know it. But is that anything different than it was back in that day when the old prophet peeked through the knot hole of the door, and watched the come out of the ark and watched on top of the ark and go out and stand by the door and was gone, and they were still having churches as usual, okay? And you know something? That is paralleled to this day a long time ago. We still go through the rigmarole of this and that and jumping up and down and shouting. Then, of course, we got some of the sect of the church that's very reverent toward God. They don't raise their hands, clap their hands, pat their feet. There again, folks, it's read the Scripture. You know, again, Let's just do what they did in the book. If it worked for them, it'll work for us. It's a formula, bless God, that was set by God. Amen? Amen. Well, in Acts 13:11, it says here, "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, and not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." And of course, we know that without a doubt that God, you know, people say, "Well, would God do something like that today?" Let me tell you something. God does whatever it takes to bring us to the place that He has anointed us to. Now, if He's anointed you in a great way as He did Paul, then He's going to go to some great means. And again, as I talked about on Wednesday, did Paul have any reason that he was going to be a preacher of this Messiah? No, none at all. In fact, it was the absolute opposite. But, you know, I've said for years, once you meet this man that we call Yeshua, that the church calls Jesus, once you meet him, once you know him, and you know that you have been with him, I've got news for you. It'll change your life, and it'll never be the same again. You know, I used to watch people come into the churches, and bless God, they'd be there for a while, and they'd be on fire, and then they'd leave, and I become rather distraught through the years about it all. And finally, the angel came unto me, and the angel said to me, "It said, fear not," because I always thought maybe it was something that I had done wrong in ministering the word, that I hadn't got the word across to him. And the angel said, no. He said they had never met him. They have never known him. Once you know him, as I think and believe every one of you that are listening today, no, you're not going to forsake him. You're not going to, well, you know, that was one of the things that really just aggravated the socks off of me, as we say, when people say, "Well, old Prophet Deckard there, he's keeping the law. He's lost his salvation." My Lord and my God, how wrong could they be? But you see again, people can be cruel. Amen? Let's go to Acts 14:8. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked." Now, isn't that a deal? Now, you understand that Paul, bless God, fixed his eyes upon him, perceiving. He discerned. He was able to discern in the spirit about the man. And bless God, and that he had faith to be healed. In other words, that man had faith to be healed. I can't tell you how many times throughout the years of my ministry that, bless God, that people had called me and told me stories about they were dying or this was going on or that was going on in their lives, and that they just believed that they could come. Bless God, that God would give them the miracle. And every time I'd say, "Come on," I said, "Come on." I said, that's the kind of faith that moves God. And you know, when I teach all that, you know, there's different ways that people are healed. One of the ways that people are healed and receive miracles is by their faith, all right? And if their faith is strong enough, bless God, you don't have to worry about laying on hands, getting somebody else to pray for you in that way. I realize that not everybody has that kind of faith, and I realize that. And I realize that laying on of hands is scriptural and will always be scriptural. But at the same time, bless God, He perceived that. You know, when I first started into the ministry, bless God, the Lord God had to, of course, He discerns everything, but anyway, the angel spoke to me, and it'd be somebody come in the room on crutches, or they'd come in the room in a wheelchair, and the angel would speak to me and said, you tell them, now this is before I ministered a word, before I even got to pray about the, you know, getting ready to start the ministry of the word. And he said, you tell them that they're going to walk. They're going to be free of those crutches, free of that wheelchair when you lay hands on them. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That takes a lot of takes a lot of faith. Was I bold in it? No, my knees were shaking, absolutely shaking. That was a boldness, but that's what God did with me early on. And then as I grew older in the ministry, I understood that that's the reason all that was. And I spoke about it on Wednesday. You've got to be quick to do what God tells you to do. You've got to be quick. Why? Because if you don't, now listen to me closely, if you don't, then I'm going to tell you, he'll call on somebody else. He'll call on somebody else. If you won't do it, he'll find somebody that will. Be quick to do what God tells you to do. And every time those people get out of those wheelchairs, they'd throw the crutches on the floor or whatever, and they'd walk, they'd run. But you see, that's the power of a living God. But it's also, bless God, within the gifts of being able to discern and understand. In that particular case, I didn't have to discern anything. The angel just told me, said, that's what you're to do. Just do it. And that makes for some exciting moments, folks, to try to go through about an hour's worth of ministry of God's Word, and knowing when that's over, the first thing that's going to happen is that guy's going to get out of a wheelchair or whatever it was that that I made the announcement about before we started into the ministry. But you see, that was to prepare me for the days that came. And you must know that. And the only way you can know that is to experience it. That's what prepared me in the end to travel the world, to prophesy and leave signs to the kings, the queens, the prime ministers and presidents and leaders of these nations. That's what that was about. And I'm going to tell you right now, it again is what? You have to be trained. You have to come up through it. Let's go to this thing in Acts 16 always intrigued me. And you know, I've used this many times and will always use it because number one thing that I was always intrigued about was the fact that all these people saying God said this and God said that, and it took me quite some time to really understand that the familiar spirits, spirit of divination, was in operation, and they knew it not. Now, this is and I use this when I do the thing on prophets and prophecies. And by the way, if you haven't heard that, and if you don't have that set of CDs, it's imperative that you get those, you study them, because it's going to tell you the truth. For you people that are quick to say God said something, it's going to shut your mouth, and it's high time that your mouths got shut, because you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting other people for the things that you're saying to them. The old story is stop it, and that's the story. And yet it goes on because people want to be somebody. They want to be noticed. Their flesh wants to rise up. Well, I'm sorry for all that, but that's the way it is. Acts 16:16, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, working in familiar spirits. It doesn't say that, but that's what she was doing, which brought her master as much gain. But soothsaying, she's a soothsayer. All right? The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. Many days. Paul didn't discern it the minute that it happened. It said many days. Now, many days, you don't know where that's 7 days. You know where it's 5, 6, 7 months. You know what it was, but many days, more than just a day or so. All right, but Paul being grieved, okay, finally Paul picked something up in his spirit. Okay, turned and said to the spirit, not to the woman, to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Well, you know, there again, these are things that have to be learned. Experience, bless God, is the maker of all of us. And it doesn't matter what that is. It doesn't matter whether it's out here working a secular job or it's being a minister working in the power of God's anointing. It's all the same. Now, in Acts 20:10, Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. Paul raised the dead. And this thing that happened to him in the book of Acts 28 with the viper biting him, it went like this, and when Paul, that third verse, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now these are deadly things. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Sounds like the church, doesn't it? And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when it should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Okay, little g, God, that he was a god. So, but you see, again, folks, nothing by any means will harm you. You can come to that place. You can actually come to that place where nothing by any means will harm you. If you walk with him and you'll talk with him, and bless God, you'll be obedient to his written word. It's a combination that bless God, that works every time. Acts 28:8 says, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of bloody flux, to whom Paul entered and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. He was healed. So these guys were into the power of God's holy anointing. And you know, as we read through this and as you're listening to this even now, you know, the thing with this is that's the way it should be. That's the where did it go? And again, that's what I kept saying to the church. Where is the power of the Holy Ghost? Where is the power of this living God as it was in the book of Acts? Show me, bring me somebody that, bless God, that can work in this kind of power. Well, I'll tell you what, it's so sad. It's so, so sad. As I said, we've got a lot of silver-tongued orators. We've got a lot of television evangelists that do whatever they do. But folks, it's time for the power of God, isn't it? It's time. It's time for us to return to the book of Acts. But in order to return there's a price to be paid. We're going to have to go back and do what they were doing. It's just, it's that simple, you know, and to do it in what? With all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. That's what it's about. Acts 14:3. Long time therefore bold they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Signs and wonders to be done by their hand. They talk boldly about the Lord. Signs and wonders will follow the word. Okay, that's what Scripture tells us. And you know, I used to go in churches and bless God, they'd have healing lines before they started, before they ever ministered the word. And I'd tell pastor after pastor, I'd say, Pastor, why don't you just try this? I said, I know you've got whatever going on here, but I said, why don't you try having that healing line after? And they'd look at me, and I just turned to the Word, and I'd say, you know what it says right here? Signs and wonders will follow the Word. The Word has to come first, then the signs and wonders will follow the Word. They will absolutely put God's stamp of approval on His Word. I went through a time when the angel, one of them came to me and said, whatever you preach on will be that which God will bring the miracles for at that time. And so if I preach on, bless God, healing, I mean, it just bang, 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 bang. Same thing with great miracles. When I talk about great miracles, I'm talking about things in people's lives as losing their homes, that bless God, that all of a sudden finances showed up and they didn't lose, marriages that were falling apart, this, that, and everything else. Because God brought special miracles. And I found out again that he would confirm his word with signs following. And that's exactly what his holy word says. Now, in Acts 19:11 says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Well, I guess he did. so that from his body were brought unto him, brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And you know, that's that was one of those things that I found out very early on in the beginning of my ministry, and I'm sure I've talked about it before, that a little lady about 80, maybe older than 80 years old, one night came up, and it was hot. I had rented an old skating rink, no air conditioning, in the middle of summer, 90 degrees at midnight outside. And I'm telling you, you just wring water out of my shirt, my socks. It was terrible. So I carried some handkerchiefs with me, and I was just wiping the sweat, you know, and I never had ever thought about the fact that God would, the anointing that God gave me would work like unto this thing that we just read in 19th chapter of Acts. And this little lady come up and said, Prophet, she said, I would like to have one of those anointed handkerchiefs. I picked a handkerchief up, and it was wringing wet with sweat. I tried to find. I said, okay. I said, she said, yes, she said, you know, she said, the anointing's in those handkerchiefs. I looked at her and I said, well, honey, I don't know about that. I said, I've never had, you know, anything like that. Oh, yeah, she said, I'm going to take this home and lay it on my, it was a grandson, I believe, that I think this grandson had asthma terribly bad, if I'm remembering the right case, and I think I am. And anyway, she came back the next night with the grandson and brought him up and said, now take a deep breath and breathe for the prophet. And she took a deep breath. She said, Prophet, before he couldn't get enough air out of those lungs to, you know, take that deep breath at all. She held up that handkerchief and she said, told you, Prophet, the anointing's in the hanky. And from that day forward, we have seen and heard of thousands of people. That, bless God, I tell the story about taking those anointed handkerchiefs with me into the third world where preachers had never laid hands on people before. Didn't even understand, and teach them. I left them the handkerchiefs, and I told them, I said, well, in fact, I had it demonstrated. I gave this one, the host pastor, I gave him a handkerchief. I said, now, I looked around there, somebody, I don't know whether they're blind, lame, or don't remember, deaf, or whatever it was, but anyway, they came up, and the miracle came, and his eyes got big around silver dollars. And I passed them out to a few others, and had other people come up, and God wrought miracles through them. And so they used those hankies, and I told them, I said, I'm gone. I said, I'll be back in a year. I said, you carry those with you, you pray with them, and you lay those handkerchiefs on, and God will wrought miracles. And bless God, I get letters, and all they just carry on and on. So when I got back to Africa, it was Africa, got back to Africa, and I got there, and the first thing I did, I told the pastor, I said, now, you go around, I forget how many of them I handed out, and I said, I want all my handkerchiefs back. And all their eyes, they got big. And he said, oh, no. He said, oh, prophet, he said, you can't do that. And I said, well, they're my hankies, and I want them back. Of course, I knew what I was doing, okay? I knew that, see, you can't make a crutch out of them. God will let you use those and use them for a long time. But God wanted them to understand that they could do that. So anyway, I gathered the handkerchiefs, and it was just like taking candy away from some little kids. They were just beside themselves, just begging and crying, and I felt bad about it. But I know what the angel come and told me to do: get the handkerchiefs. That God is going to wrought miracles through them. That they know that they don't have a dependency upon those handkerchiefs. And so sure enough, that night, when it come time for the healing line, I know I asked this old pastor, I said, come up, brother, and I said, now, I want you, and I called somebody out that had something that was big time wrong with him, blind or lame or something. And anyway, he just got big-eyed and shook his head, and I said, no. I said, you come. I said, God is with you. And he came, and sure enough, God wrought the miracle, and you know, that was that, and it proved its point. But you see, God will let you use those handkerchiefs for a long, long time. Those of you that have, you can wash them. You don't have to worry about washing out the anointing. That's not going to happen. But you just understand that God's got a way about himself. And you know, if God can jumpstart you through these anointed handkerchiefs, well, use them. You know, I tell the ministry today, use those handkerchiefs. bless God, don't be backward about it. Just bring it in there and lay it on them and get it done. In the name of Yeshua, it'll work. I believe you me. Now, in John 6:28, this is a piece of scripture. I don't know that it was the first week, but in the very first few days that I was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, bless God, I read John 28. It says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we must work the works of God?" I'm going to read that again. They, the disciples, came unto him, Yeshua, and said, "What shall we do, Yeshua, that we might work the works of God?" They had watched him work in the works of God. They had watched him raise the dead. They had watched him turn the water to wine. They had watched him. And now they're saying, what do we have to do this? And I'm telling you what, that went through me like lightning. Now, I've never been struck by lightning, but I'm assuming it as the quickness that it would have gone through me. And I said, "God, this is what I want. Show me what I've got to do to work those works." And then I read on down through there, and then I found a place where it said that Yeshua said unto the disciples, "And all these things that you've seen me do, ye shall do, and even greater things shall you do." I said, "My Lord and my God." I said, "Father, what are you saying here? What are you saying here?" I immediately started attending a Pentecostal church, and dear God in heaven, we clapped our hands and we shouted and we jumped up and down, we ran around and carried on in the church and up and down the aisles and fell on the floor and never saw God do anything. Maybe somebody had a cold every once in a while, claimed to be ill, but that was it. I said, "God, what do I have to do?" And do you want to know something? From that day, and it took years, but from that day, the Lord began to show me what I was going to have to do to work His works. It isn't something that comes automatically, brothers and sisters, as you receive salvation or you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It just doesn't come with that package, okay? And so many people, the church, believe that that's what, and it doesn't. I'm sorry, it doesn't. You have to pay the price. You have to find out, what were they doing? What was it Paul and Peter and John and James and the rest, what were they doing that God used them in such a way that, bless God, that He used them? Was it because, well, you know, they were kind of the first that was here after Yeshua left? Well, yeah, you can say that if you want to, but you see, you'd have to throw out the scripture that says that God's no respecter of persons. What He's done for one, He'll do for all. No, what happened was that we got far away from the covenant. We got far away from keeping the whole testimony of His Son Yeshua. It didn't work. The power didn't work. And you know, I've said for years, I mean, hey, let me tell you something about Elijah. He wasn't saved nor filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet he was called the prophet of fire, wasn't he? He could call fire down from heaven. And the same thing was with the rest of those old prophets in the Tanakh. Bless God, brothers and sisters, there's more here than meets the old eye or the ear that we have heard. And now's the time. Now's the time. This is the time, this is the hour that God is going to raise up, as I said, the mightiest army He's ever had on the face of this earth. And you and I, we're definitely right smack dab in the middle of this thing. I guess we could say whether we want to be or not. But it's exciting. I mean, I would much rather be around people that are working the works of God than people that are going through religious whatevers. And I don't think you're any different than that. That's what drove me, eventually away from the Pentecostals, away from the mainline churches altogether, was the fact that, bless God, that I was sure there was more. I was sure that there was more. And you know what? There was. You know what? I found it. And you know what? I walk in it today. But again, it's a matter of saying, like I said, if they were doing it there in the book of Acts, what happened? Where I know there have been, you know, going toward 2,000 years here, well, I mean, probably over 2,000 by now, that bless God, that something happened between then and now. Well, I'll tell you what happened. We quit believing. We quit the covenant with the Lord God with His holy covenant. Okay, that was what it was all about. 16:24 of Matthew pretty well tells it all. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. In other words, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to deny yourself. That's the law of the jungle, the way the old cookie crumbles, as they say. Let's go to Luke 14:25. And there was great multitudes with Him. And He turned and said to them, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Do you know how many people that denies discipleship? About 99.9% of them. Because people, I'm going to tell you something. People aren't willing to give anything up. They're not willing to deny. They think all this just happened to come along with salvation and then filling with the Holy Ghost. 27, and whosoever did not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. That's just the way it is. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down at first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. They all begin to laugh at him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassy and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be My disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That's what we're guilty of. We're guilty, okay? We are guilty in the church. Is that we didn't deny and forsake all. See, and that's what it means. You know, I'll ask you a question, and pretty well I've asked this before during this series, but what haven't you given up to the Lord God? What's standing in between you and your destiny with God? What have you made a god of your life that you can't turn loose of in order, bless God, to be able to work His mighty works? These are questions that demands answers if you're going to even begin to think about working the works of God, brothers and sisters. You must understand that. Please understand that, bless God, that you're going to deny everything. It's like I said, this walk that you're entering into here with this prophet, bless God, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You are going to have to, bless God, make this your life. And if you're not willing to make this your life, and it's going to be a substitute, and I'm going to tell you something else. This, don't be emailing me with all these excuses. Why? Well, you know, now prophet, well, you know, this came up and that came up, and that's the reason I couldn't make the quarterly and this, that, and everything. You know, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I've said for years. You do what you want to do, and don't think you ever don't. So don't be writing to me or calling the office and saying, well, I'd have been there except for blankety blank, blankety blank, and blankety blank, because that's what it is to me. I'm not hearing. You do what you want to do. Bless God, if you like to fish, you'll get up at 2 or 3 in the morning, you take off in a rainstorm, and bless God, you'll go fishing if that's what you want to do, and you'll do it every time. But when it comes to the things of God, excuses. Well, again, if you can't deny yourself, if you can't deny, bless God, don't worry about it. You're not, you know, God calls upon you and you're going to have an excuse why you can't do something that God's dependent upon you for the lives of other people. See, it's all part of him looking at your heart and seeing what's in your heart. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying today. Somebody just flat needs to hear that. If that's what's in your heart, you're just wasting your time with this, because that's not going to work. You're going to have to do it. Well, you're going to have to give everything. You're going to have to give everything. And if you can't do that, please move on. Get out of the way. Just find somewhere else to go play church game or whatever it is you play. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There again, if you're going to do what we just read over in a series of scriptures over there in Luke 14, just talking about denying yourself. He says, "If you continue my word," what's his word? That's his word over there. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, it takes a little while to get into this thing and understand that it comes forth. Now, John 15, and I love this set of scriptures. He said, "I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Now, listen to this. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit." In other words, if in fact you're not, he's just going to toss that to the side. If you're not going to bear fruit, all right. But if you do, he's going to purge it. He's going to test it. He's going to put you through trials. He's going to keep listening and watching your heart to see what you're saying and what your heart is doing. That's what he's saying here. So that you'll do what? Bring forth more fruit. "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Well, praise God for that. That's what makes us clean, is the word. Amen. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Well, that makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." In other words, there's nothing going to come of you. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." Now, let me tell you something about that word abide. That word means remain attached to. All right, so let's read that as the true meaning there. "If you remain attached in me," I'm the seventh verse, "and my words remain attached in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, there's where people get everything all messed up. They think all they got, well, just speak the words. No, those words of the Lord God have to remain attached in you. They have to remain attached to you, all right? And if they don't, then bless God, you can ask all day. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to be done unto you. And you know I'm telling you the truth. How many millions of prayers go up every day that the Lord, number one, is not even listening to because of their doubt and unbelief, and never get answered? It's like I said, the church's prayers, the chances and the odds of that happening is like winning the lottery, okay? It's kind of a lottery within itself. If it happens, it's just something by whatever circumstances are out here in the world that it just happened to happen. Oh, the church don't like to hear that. But let me tell you something, it's the truth. Consistency. When the power of God's anointing's in operation, it works every time. Okay? It works every time. I know I told the story about the guy that asked me. He said, you're saying that, you know, that bring the sick and the lame and the blind and all that, you know, that God's going to heal. He said, can you absolutely are sure that's going to happen? I said, yeah, you bet it's going to happen. He looked at me kind of funny, and I said, the anointing is with me. I said, I have never been in a service where people weren't healed. There weren't miracles. There weren't things that are happening. And I said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to stop now. And sure enough, as he followed me around, he just shake his head. He said, well, I can't believe. In fact, I'm going to tell you what I ended up doing. I ended up setting him down because he wanted to know if I'd pray for him so he could have that anointing. I just kind of laughed. I said, no, but I said, I can bait your hook for you. So I found there was a woman that had a short leg. And bless God, so we set her back with her hips in the back of the chair. And, oh, her, it was about 3 inches or better short. And so I just turned around. He didn't know I was going to do it, and I just turned around and I just waved him over. I said, come over here. I said, now I want you to put your hand on this lady's head and you pray and ask the Lord God to give her a miracle. I said, you rebuke the situation, that leg. Ask God to give this woman a miracle that this leg would grow in the name of Yeshua. And he looked at me and he said, well, I've never seen anything like that done before. I said, just, I'm going to lay my hand on you and you're going to feel something you've never felt before. And so anyway, he went to praying. About the time he got to the end of the prayer, I put my hand on his shoulder, and he said it felt like lightning shot down my shoulder, down my arm, out my fingers, into that woman. And he said, I looked down, and that leg just slid out. I said, that is the power of God's anointing. Amen? Amen. Eighth verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, you know, I've always said, and we've got a long way to go with this love thing, and we do. We're going to get there, though. God's going to demand that once again of us. He never not demanded it, but the fact of it is we just sort of pushed that back on the back burner and thought that, well, bless God, you know, we can get along here, we can get along there. But I got news for you. It takes it all. See, and there again, brothers and sisters, that's what the problem has been. Oh, come and be this sect of Christianity, and we do this, and you don't need that over there because, you know, we're doing this, and God, oh, look at the building we're in for a church, and look at all the cars in the parking lot. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The size of the building, the amount of cars in the parking lot doesn't mean anything to God if they're not serving Him with a whole heart, with everything that's on the inside of them. If they're not keeping the whole counsel of God's holy word. Boy, I'll tell you what, that says something, doesn't it? Did you ever stop and think about that? Did you ever stop and think about the whole counsel of God's word? It means just exactly that. That there again, God knew that this thing was going to get to be monkeyed up in the way that it is now. That's the reason he said in the last days, he said, I will send the prophet Elijah, and he will come back to this earth, and he will restore all, A-L-L, all things. Because there's going to have to, you know, number one, I had to be able to come and in the demonstration of the power of God's holy anointing in the name of Yeshua. I had to be able to do that. And to a place where it was undeniable, not just a place where somebody every once in a while, this happened or that happened. I'm talking about undeniably so. And like I said, God has let me witness some of the mightiest, powerful miracles that I believe probably has taken place since the book of Acts. That I think it was back then when those types of things were going on. And the Lord God did. And I'd say, God, I don't understand. Oh, I said, the people, they don't care. They're all wrapped up into the little world of religion. Angel said, one day they'll care. He said, one day they will come by the multitudes to learn how to work the works of God. And I pray to God that that's part of what you're here about, listening today, all around the world, that I'm going to teach you how to work the works of God. I'm going to teach you, bless God, the things that God has taught me. So that we together will be the greatest army that this earth has ever seen, in the name of the Lord our Father and His Son, Yeshua. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's exciting. Now, that's not on a CD, so Donna's fixing it up here. We're recording this separate, I don't know how she's doing it, but anyway, she's my electronic person. And anyway, it'll be where you can get a hold of it through CD. I know that you can get it right here on Blog Radio, but there's some people want to fix it up where they can get a hold of it and have it as a one full CD and work it that way, and we'll make that available in time. Well, Friday, bless God, Shabbat cometh. It's preparation day. Bless God, the girls have been busy cleaning the house and getting everything ready to prepare the food for the this evening Shabbat meal. And we're always excited on this day. And we just pray to God that you can feel the excitement, that you can come into a place and share that excitement with your family and your friends. Because this is a day that the Lord God has made. This is the day that He commanded that we would keep holy. Okay, sundown tonight, sundown tomorrow night. Well, praise God. Well, we're excited about the emails we're getting, people being healed, and the miracles that are coming to people. And I realize that it makes it a lot easier when you can do it right there in your living room, your office, or wherever you're listening to this, and having to get in a car and drive how many hours to receive that miracle or that healing. Well, let me tell you something. It's my pleasure to be able to give to you what God has given to me. And Father, I pray right now in the name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, for each of these that are listening today. I want to especially pray for that person that you got up today and you've been having some chest pains, okay? Now, these pains you've had before, but they're not serious, but they're making you wonder, all right? Well, everything's not quite right. Okay, I'm not saying that you need to panic, by no means. But let me pray. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, I curse the condition that's causing this person to be having these pains in her chest. And that will be cursed on earth, be cursed in heaven itself. And I command by the power of God's holy anointing that, bless God, that the power of a miracle will come into that chest area and heal and make free whatever's going on there by the stripes that Yeshua bore upon the tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Indigestion. Somebody's having some real indigestion problems. Okay? You're having to take a lot of those, whatever those pills are you take to help your indigestion. Well, you're not going to have to take any more pills. Just believe. All right? I curse the condition that's going on in this person's with this indigestion. I curse it. I command it to come out in the name of Yeshua and set them free by the stripes that Yeshua bore upon the tree. And Satan, I curse you right now from this. Body, you receive that miracle. You receive it right now in the holy name of Yeshua. Now, the rest of you, put your hand exactly on whatever it is you need to be healed from and believe and receive. Father, right now, let those that are put their hand upon whatever it is, and let it be healed by the stripes of your holy Son Yeshua. Let the miracle come from the top of their heads to the bottoms of their feet. And body, I take authority over you bodies, and I command you bodies to receive right now the miracle that I speak into you. And I curse you from this too, Satan, in the name of Yeshua. And let those who need to be delivered, let them be delivered in the name of the Lord. Here's a story for the people who need to be delivered. Stop doing whatever you've been doing. You have authority over that now. You take authority in Yeshua's precious name.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all this material that you're hearing taught every day, every week. Folks, you want to get out there and start taking a look at that and start ordering that material, because you need to get a hold of that and start to apply that into your life so that it will change your life. You know what? You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com. We'll be praying for your prayer requests. Shalom until tomorrow. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
Asher malach v'terem kol yetzir nivra et nasa b'chefzo kol azay melech shemo nikra.